Blog Talk Radio.
Christmas is the time to say I love you. Share the joy, the laughter, and the cheer. Christmas is the time to say I love you. And I feel that lasts all through the year.
This is Ryan. Had a kind of a late start today. We were at my dad's house this all afternoon baking sugar cookies and kind of sort of decorating the Christmas tree. We started to decorate the tree, but the Christmas cookie decorating took a lot longer than we expected it to take, but it turned out really good. I mean, my decorating wasn't very good, I must admit. I don't have the cookie decorating skills.
Your high cookie
was amazing. Oh yeah, well that's true. I did do a Christmas cookie with the word high on it, and that was pretty much on point.
I did a snowman.
Yes, Angie did a snowman. She's a lot better at that stuff than I am.
And I suck, so that says a lot.
Yeah.
Good at baking, horrible at decorating.
Yeah, we're not quite ready for the Food Network just yet. We have a few.
I'm not going to win the Great Baking Challenge.
No.
Championship.
Maybe the world's worst.
Decorating.
Well, maybe not the world's worst. We weren't that bad, I don't think.
Mm. No, my snowman turned out super cute.
Yeah. Her snowman was really good. She'll put a picture of it on our Facebook page. And I'll put a picture of it on my Facebook page, and we'll blast the internet with it.
RJ is not asleep yet, so I don't know how long I'm going to hang in. He's watching Mickey Mouse right now.
Well, let's see how long he lasts. Maybe he'll be mesmerized by Mickey Mouse and won't even notice you're gone.
Is Kimmy going to take over for me?
Am I?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. If she wants to.
She's just eating potatoes.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
I'm fine to say.
Okay. I mean, she talks so much on the podcast, I barely get a word in edgewise, you know?
It's surprising because she really talks my ear off.
Yeah, you have to give the Five Nights of our co-host. I even gave you Skack Skeleton to sit on. This is the kind of boyfriend I am. I gave Angie the Jack Skeleton pillow for her booty.
That was so nice.
Yeah, these wooden chairs are not very comfortable. So tonight we are talking with Bethany Brooke. She is she actually worked on Night Visions for a while.
Great show.
Yes. She I met her at the cabin. God, it must have been like 2 years ago. Yeah, it wasn't last summer. It was the summer before last. She came up with she was there with Howie. And that's when they did their live broadcast on the Rift Radio Network. And I got a message from her, I don't know, a few months ago, saying she was talking about doing a paranormal movie with someone, and asked if I had an EMF detector, which I didn't have one, but I told her to contact Dennis. So I don't know if she did that or not, but I'm gonna go ahead and put her on the show. Better late than never. Hopefully it works. Hey, hello.
Hi.
Hey, sorry.
How are you doing?
We're good. We finally got settled. I'm glad you were able to come on later than scheduled.
We're on a sugar high. We're waiting for the crash. Crashing you two are.
Kids, you know, kids, they never crash.
God. Man, how many cookies did we make tonight?
At least four dozen, if not more.
We bought 4 bags of Betty Crocker sugar cookie mix tonight.
Oh, gosh.
And we made.
Oh,
man. We had different flavors, too.
Oh, yeah.
Strawberry, lemon, almond.
No, it was maple brown sugar.
Oh, yeah. That was the best.
That was the best. They melted in your mouth.
Your phone. Oh, okay. I see here it says your phone lags a bit. Are you there?
Yeah. Answer right away. I'm here. I'm waiting because sometimes with the blog talk it lags a lot. So, yeah.
Oh. All right. Well, what's your favorite kind of cookie? Now that we're talking about cookies, might as well.
Hmm.
It's a hard question.
Snickerdoodle. I love snickerdoodles. Sugar cookies are great. It's my first choice, but if I can't have them, I do snickerdoodles.
We saw snickerdoodle
my
popcorn today.
I was about to say that. We were at the Valero station. And on the way to my dad's house, and we saw snickerdoodle-flavored popcorn.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to go to the Valero gas station and find some. We have an awesome popcorn place in Gloucester, and they have like all sorts of different styles of popcorn, like kettle corn. And I want to go try their peppermint one. It's a brand new shop, and they came in shortly before I moved in, so I want to go try them. I think they're going to be really cool. I might do a segment on that on my Facebook page.
Man, I love kettle corn.
Kettle corn
is
the bomb.
Absolute, yeah.
So I decorate my Christmas tree with popcorn. So.
so you string popcorn?
I string popcorn. I'm patient nice. Enough to string popcorn.
That is old school right there.
Well, you got to go back to the Christmas mood. There's a Christmas movie. I think it's like the night before. It's not the night before Christmas. It's a old one with a little girl who gets sick. Her name is Charity. I can't remember. I have to like go back and look at it, but. Watched it the other night, and it's kind of like a family tradition. We watched that, and we string popcorn. So, and I picked it up from that movie, and ever since I've done it with my family for, like, many, many years. So, kind of a new tradition in my family, so.
Yeah, that's the cool thing about Christmas is the traditions that your family has, and teaching your children those traditions and stuff. That's one of the coolest things about the holiday season, I think. It's kind of stuff that lasts throughout the years, you know?
Yeah, and I'm huge on traditions, so I think I'm like the only one in my family now that kind of keeps it alive and moving around, and like, I'm not getting rid of it. I'm going to keep doing it. So so my folks are a lot older now. They're like in their 80s, or some of them have passed on, but they're mm-hmm. traditions that I want to continue with my family. So, and they kind of push me to do what I do today, which leads me to talk to you guys. So there you go.
Yeah, that's the hardest part about, I think, when people pass away, is the traditions that come sometimes go with them.
Yes.
You know?
Some of them don't.
So I want to start talking about paranormal first. Then
sure.
We'll get into the real stuff. How long have you been into the paranormal?
Gosh, I've known it since I was a kid. So I want to say, like, I really started getting into it when I was, like, 11 or 12. Probably even earlier than that, I started knowing, like, having some strange signs about stuff like that. But I didn't really, like, accept full responsibility of paranormal stuff until I was, like, 11 or 12, so.
Where did you grow up?
Pretty young. Where did I grow up? I grew up in Williamsburg.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So, of course, they're full of, like, ghost stories and things like that, but, you know, I always wanted to know, well, what happened to this person? Is it a real story or is it a fake story? And then I would want to know where they went or where they died, where they were buried. And it was just like a long conversation, and people like kind of turned away from me because, you know, I wanted to know stuff that people didn't. So it's just different.
I mean, that get answers.
Yeah, no, pretty much. I wanted answers, and some things I already knew the answers to. And I wanted just like a confirmation. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, some of the stories I can tell you that Colonel Lancer tells are true and some of them aren't. But if anyone's listening that way, I won't like hurt you or like get mad at you for saying what you have to say. So, I knew at a really young age I could like kind of like work with ghosts and the old people who have passed on and things like that, talking to them and whatnot. And receiving messages and then sending them on to family members that may need them or want to hear them, things like that.
Now, do you remember what your first paranormal experience was?
Kind of, sort of. It was actually a pet that I had.
Mm-hmm.
I had a pet cat that that I didn't really know. Because it passed before I was, like, really, like, born. So I knew a lot about the cat because my uncle and my mom talked about it. And I was, like, getting, like, visions of, like, what the cat looked like. And this was before I was even being shown pictures of the cat. And I kind of had, like, a weird feeling like there was a presence walking around. And then I was starting to hear, like, noises and things and, like, finding paths and talking about this cat, and I talked to my uncle, my mom, and they kind of like were telling me things about this cat that was kind of becoming true of what I was noticing. So it kind of it scared me a little bit because I wasn't really sure.
Mm-hmm.
I was, you know, seeing this kind of stuff or hearing this kind of stuff, but then it kind of came into like play. And my granddad actually ran over the cat, and I, for some reason, saw this entire vision happened, like, I saw the whole thing without actually being there because I was still, like, really little, so, when they were talking about this cat. But somehow I saw the whole thing, and I can describe it word for word, and it kind of scares some people, so it's a little different.
So, how old were you when this happened?
When what happened?
Well, when you started
like
seeing
the
visions.
Like, when I started getting the visions.
Yeah, the cat.
Like 3 or 4.
And how long before?
But
I
didn't start talking about it until I was like 11 or 12. So I was like 3 or 4 when I started like seeing these kind of things. I couldn't like quite put sentences into words. But I had, like, that feeling all the time. So it kind of just grew into something that I could actually put into sentences and words and feelings for it, so.
So when you saw these visions, did you tell anybody about it? Or did you, like, tell your parents about it and say, hey, I just saw this in my head?
Not really. I grew up with adoptive parents, and they're very Christian, so they kind of, like, dismiss stuff like that. So, grandma passed back in 2010, so I started opening up just a couple of years before she passed about stuff like that. But my granddad, he doesn't really, like, promote that. It's like he kind of steers away from stuff. He won't talk about it. So, yeah, I really don't talk to my parents about it. My mom kind of had that. I think she's kind of in that same sense, but she's not as strong as I am in those feelings and visions, but she accepts them. Mm-hmm. And she just kind of like, okay, you can do this. And that's as far as we kind of get. You know, I talk about them, but then, you know, that's as far as it gets. So.
Yeah, I think my.
I'm certainly only one of my
kids
to do that.
When I talk about stuff that happens at the cabin, he's like, all right, I believe you see these things, but I don't want you talking about it type of stuff.
Yeah. I get it.
I think I might mess with their worldview. Like they have this way of looking at things, and you say something, hey, this is what's going on. It's kind of hard. Sometimes hard for people to accept that there may be more stuff out there, you know?
Yeah. And I think it's a fine line. Like, they're kind of unaccepted of the unknown and something
mm-hmm.
they may know, but they're not sure you're okay with knowing. So it's kind of like you have to cross that line to go forward. And some people don't. Like, they just, something stops them. But I think that's your choice. You have to make that choice for yourself. You can't make it for anybody else. So it's kind of like that individuality that you have to go for. If that's something that you choose. I mean, I never take any, like, paranormal spirit or anything unless I'm okay with it. Like, if I tell you don't talk to me, you're not going to talk to me. I'm ignore you. But, you know, it's not until you accept that kind of situation that most, you know, not everybody can do that. Not everybody can block it out. Not everybody can do that. I mean, I've had trouble with it in the past. And some spirits or others. But, you know, you have to make that choice for yourself. So, a little different.
Well, it's like
with everybody.
It's just like making the choice to you believe in God or not.
Right.
You have to make the choice. Have faith that He exists. You need to have faith that anything has faith in spirits exist.
Right. And see, I have that, you know, I have that religious background, Christian background. So yeah, I believe there's something there. I believe someone did
mm-hmm.
something. I believe there is a God, but, you know, I think He has mysterious ways of doing stuff, and I kind of think that the gift that I have is something that He asked me to do, not something I chose. He
yeah.
asked me to do it in the, you know. So, and I think a lot of people get that really confused. So it's more difficult to talk to people that, in that kind of sort of sense, of talking about stuff like that. They kind of just like, oh, are you sure? Are you just making it up? It's harder to explain it to people that in that sense.
Well, for me, it's like if you're a religious person, you believe in the Holy Spirit, you believe that there's this creator out there that you can't see, why is it hard to believe that there are spirits out watching over us?
Right.
Maybe not watching over us.
Right, and I think there's some, and like I said, I know that He's going to watch over me. Like, there are some times where I've actually, and, you know, when you talk to a lot of different investigators, you know, when you have a picture of an investigator, you think this strong person is not afraid of anything and can't really, you know, they just don't show that fear. And it happens with anybody, you know, just the reality, reality shows they take away from the real reality of what it really is. And, you know, I have had moments where I've gotten scared and I'm like, okay, I have to back off, I'm done. You know, and that's, you know, there's that, like I said, I talk about the fine line, that's that fine line that you have to go for. you take that step or you go, hey, that's enough, and that's your own personal opinion. So, and mm-hmm. when it comes to something like that, you know, you either do it or you don't.
I mean, there are times that I'll go on an investigation and, you know, you get worked up. That's the thing. Your senses are on high. So if something happens, something like something falls off a shelf or something, noise happens that's not supposed to happen, you're going to jump. You know, at least for me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, yeah, I don't want to say paranoid, but it's like, I'm like, my senses, like I said, my senses are high. Yeah, I'm on
right
edge.
Now. You know something's there. Now something's gonna. You know, you're aware of that it's in the room or in the area. They, you know that you're aware of it, and they are aware of you. So it makes it a different feeling. And people don't know how to react to that sometimes. So, you know, I'm more of one of those people. It's hard to startle me. It's hard to scare me. I'm more of a startle scare versus someone who can just be like, I'm in your face. I scared you like a howl scream kind of thing. You hear me okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Well, if you're really trying to get my attention, you know.
If I'm by myself, I can, you know, I'm hyper aware of my situation, of my surroundings. You know, I can hear, it's like every noise I hear, it's like, you know, I'm not thinking it's all paranormal stuff, but I hear it a lot better. But if I'm like with someone, I'm more relaxed and,
right.
More able to just be calm in a situation.
See, I'm in the exact opposite. I'm by myself, I'm more calm because then I'm not having someone else like breathing over my shoulder, and I can sit down and calm my own self down and just sit there and talk and let that person or spirit talk to me and let me know what it wants without complications of other things. See, I can do things without, you know, without electronical stuff that maybe
mm-hmm.
some people can't do. But I can debunk it just by sitting by myself or with other people. But I do prefer by myself so that I can, you know, work things out through my own thought process. But I'm not against having other people. But I don't freak out, you know, with other people. I'm used to having to explain things to people. So I'm less scared. Like if it's an unknown space and I don't know anything about it, more the merrier. But if I know more stuff about it, then I'm kind of like, okay, I can piece things together. But I kind of like a fresh start on things, so I don't know much about it, which is what I liked about the cabin. I didn't know much about it until I got there. As soon as I got there, I was like, every sentence was heightened. I mean, I knew everything. Everything was popping left and right. I mean, it was great. It was a good fresh start for me, so.
Yeah. Howie messaged me before the show started, and he said that he were hearing full-on conversations inside the cabin and whistling. Not on EVP, just, like, out in the open with their ears tonight.
Yeah, Howie and I have had a lot of conversations about stuff like that. When Wendy and Eric went with me at the cabin, I guess I went my separate way and went further back into the woods, and I came back towards the other part of the cabin, but the other part of the house, the other house, and Eric had gotten stuck, and he's like, I can't move. And as soon as I got close to his face, there was like a wall between the two of us. Like I couldn't come in, and he couldn't come out. So it was very, very strange. Very, very strange.
You know, I had the same thing happen to a friend of mine a few weeks ago. We brought her out to the cabin. It's my friend Rick and his girlfriend Ashley. They came out. We were in the woods, in the middle part of the woods, and we were about to leave, and she couldn't move, and It took us a while for them to let her go. And it's crazy because that's like the second time that's happened to her. And when we actually got back to the cabin, she started like asking who we were and why she was there. And it got pretty, pretty, pretty like I don't want to say scary, but I was like, I didn't know what to do. Cause I was like, I'm like on my phone looking up prayers, trying to get whoever was like possessing her or taking her over to let her go. I had to run up to the cabin and get Howie. This is during his show. I had to come up and actually grab him to come down and talk with her because I was running out of options. She literally didn't know what she was doing there or who we were. And
wow, see, that's my specialty. So,
if you were there, I would have asked you. But
fair enough.
It's
that doesn't happen often. That's extremely awesome, especially at that location. That's pretty cool that happens. And I know with that kind of sense, you know, when running out of options, that means, mm-hmm. you know, to me that kind of makes me more invited to do more things and open up more. So, but that's very interesting that she's had that experience. I'm hoping I will have the same.
She said afterwards that she felt she had been taken over by a little girl. And when she got to the house, the little girl was trying to stop her from going there because she didn't want to go there. So I don't know. I don't know what happened. But she didn't have any reason to fake it. She would not have gotten anything from faking what happened. So I have to believe that's what happened, you know.
I mean, you can tell the difference between people that make stuff up and things that just happen. I mean, I believe that each spirit they want to communicate with you, they will find a way to do so. And if they think you're important enough, see, I don't go to them. I let them come to me. So mm-hmm. I don't go looking for trouble unless it's something that someone has asked me to do, but I don't necessarily put myself in a dangerous situation. I know when to back out. But, you know, for her situation, you know, I would have loved to have that experience. I had a similar kind of experience, but I saw, based on what I was describing, as her still in the house with the murderer. So, and I saw the window, and I saw what happened, where she went. So, no one showed me where she died or where she was buried, really, but I had that experience of where it went.
Can you describe
very strange.
All?
Like her, or just like in general?
Yeah, in your vision, what did you see?
When I was in her room, I waited till everybody else left, so I kind of stepped back. It was right before we went down to the basement with you guys. It kind of like I heard her, and she said something like, this way. And I know that Wendy and Eric were kind of hanging around. And I kind of waited till they, like, walked out or it was, like, dark. And then, like, I got this, like, something, like, smacked me. Like, it was, like, real cold, like, cold gust that hit me. And, like, the spirit kind of just, like, ran out the window. But, like, when I went outside the house, like, the window was, like, not inviting me back in. If that makes sense. It didn't want me to come back to the house. And I kind of just had this, like, I was cold. I don't normally get cold. I wear sweatshirts because I try to feel the difference between, if I'm super hot, I can tell the difference when something hits me. And so it really, like, kind of turned me towards the woods, and I just started walking. Like, I was just standing there for, like, 20 minutes. Just, you know, I felt like this kid was guiding me to her resting place or where she was dragged or what. I don't know much of the stuff. I don't know much of the story. So I don't know what you guys know, and I don't know what anyone else knows. But I felt like there was something dragging me to a specific spot, and I just kind of got stuck there, and I was just looking. And I think it was like, I don't know, I want to say like 20, 30 paces out. So it was a very different experience. Like, I felt like I was in her shoes, and she was telling me where to go.
That the investigation that we're talking about was in the middle of the summer. like probably June, maybe June or July. I think it was June. So if you say you felt cold, it wasn't cold that night.
No, it wasn't. No, it definitely was not. It was mildly warm.
Do you, when you have a vision, is it in your head, or can you just like project it in front of you? How do you perceive your visions?
Sometimes I can project it in front of me. Sometimes I get, you know, visions come in different shapes and sizes. Sometimes I get it when I'm sleeping. For instance, I had a friend who I knew was very close to death. But the day of his death, I knew he was already gone before they called and told me he was gone, because he told me. So, like, I was asleep. Sometimes I get really bad headaches or, like, really weird, like, places where I'm, like, really moody. Like, I just feel, like, completely drained. Like, they told me something and they want to let me know. And then, you know, things like that happen. I know it's kind of strange, but when Princess Leia died, I stupidly said, and some of my friends who are listening right now will probably tell me, yeah, I heard you say that. I was sitting in my old apartment with my friend, and I said, you know, how bad would it be if her mom went with her? And I kid you not shortly after her mom passed too. And I was like, I really wish I hadn't said that. I'm going to get so many random weird things that happen. Like, sometimes it's in my sleep. Sometimes I'm wide awake and it projects right in front of me. Like, I can see it before it happens. Like, I put myself in their shoes. And I'm seeing through their eyes, and they project it in front of me, where they are, what they're doing, how it's happening. And sometimes I take on their entire body as if I were them. So I'm not aware of anything else around me but them in their situation. So it just differentiates. And I have that ability to do many different directions because I'm a very open person to doing so when I agree to it. And sometimes I've had places where I'm not agreed to it, and it just happens anyway. But a lot of the times I'm not. Go ahead. Go ahead.
So when you get a vision, like when you're not expecting it, is it like you were like, does it just show up and you're like, oh, wait a second, you can't do that right now. You've got it, you know, I'm not trying to talk to you right now. How do you get them just to go away?
It differs within person. Sometimes I talk out loud and people are like, what are you talking about? Like, I could be out in the middle of, like, grocery store and I'm like, I'm not talking to you right now. Just stop, leave me alone. And I'll try to avert my attention to something else. Or I excuse myself and, you know, go to the car or something like that. I have, like, an altar in my home, so I do, like, altar things and, like candles and be like, hey, you need to, you know, your negative energy, I'm not appreciative. Most of the time I speak out loud and say, hey, you need to leave me alone. I'm not okay with that, you know. And most of the time they leave me alone. So I haven't had much instances where they don't. When they ignore me and just keep going. So I have not had very many opportunities where I've done that. So
have you ever had a vision that's caught you off guard where it's like it hits you like emotionally where you weren't expecting that to happen?
I've had quite a few. When my grandma passed, I didn't know it at the time. I mean, I knew she was kind of close somewhere, but I was actually out babysitting for a friend, and I was actually on my way back home. I was, like, in Virginia Beach. I was on my way back home, and the radiator in the car, like, stalled, and it exploded, and I knew before my granddad called that she had passed. Like, I just had this weird, like, this nauseous feeling. Like, it was the worst feeling in the world. Like, she kind of told me, like, and it just, like, hit me, and I knew, like, it was a couple minutes, like, few minutes later that I knew when he called me, I just knew. So, like, emotionally, yes. I've had some instances where I'm at, like, There's a place in Colonial Williamsburg that's close to the governor's palace. And I've gone down the path that I walked for many years because I went to Matthew Willie High elementary school. And I passed it throughout the day, and, you know, daytime is fine. But as soon as it turns dark, everything comes out, and I got stuck. And so emotionally, I got, and I couldn't move. I couldn't think for myself. I froze. People that were, I was like telling people, don't come down this path. Don't come down near me. Don't touch me. Don't look at me. Don't even speak to me. I just emotionally couldn't think for myself. And that was the only time I think I've ever been scared for my life, because there was something so negative that I emotionally couldn't work around it. So, and it just, it froze me. Like, I was so sickening. And I think though, even if it was an, even as a negative energy or a positive energy, I've had some moments where it's just been enough where I just said, hey, enough. I had to go lay down, or I've passed out. It's just not a good feeling to be that way. It's a lot harder to deal with stuff like that. In general, when I've gotten to my emotions, generally I don't let my emotions mess with me, but if someone I know personally, occasionally it can mess with me that way, and sometimes it doesn't. It just depends on how, like, close I was to the person. So,
when you were walking down that path, did you know that what you're walking into, or did it come around you as you're walking through the path or down the path?
I didn't really know what I was walking into. It kind of caught me on two different sides of the path. It just kind of like, I felt like I was being enclosed in and trapped. Like, I wasn't allowed to leave. Like, I don't know if they wanted to talk to me. I never went back down there again. It was like midnight, 3 o'clock before it actually really let me go. But it just trapped me there, and I couldn't move my legs or anything. Like, I froze. And I don't know if they wanted to talk to me, hurt me. Nothing really happened. I just, like, I got real sick afterwards. And usually I eat before anything, you know, before I ever take anybody on. Like, I was taking someone on a ghost tour. I was teaching somebody about the paranormal and things I do, because they wanted not, like, a Colonial Williamsburg stuff. They wanted the real deal. So I tried to teach them on what I know and things like that, and let them experience stuff. And I know they could feel, they were sensitive, so I know they could feel stuff. But for some reason, they couldn't go down the path with me. They wouldn't come down the path, even though I was like, hey, you need to come get me, because it was enough. But nobody, like, said anything. But I just didn't feel comfortable. I didn't feel right. So I couldn't decide whether, it was the first time I couldn't decide whether it was a negative or a positive energy there. It just, I don't know. Nothing ever happened that came of it. I just got stuck. So it was very different. The weirdest thing I've ever had in my life. So.
From the while you're describing, it sounds pretty negative. You couldn't move, or you felt helpless. Doesn't sound very positive to me, anyways.
No, I don't feel like I panicked or anything. I just feel like I felt like there was something that wanted to speak, but something else there was not allowing it to speak. But I never went back
both.
To it.
Like, they're fighting each other. Like, I don't want to spark. No, you can't. You know, something was keeping the spirit or energy from you know, telling you what they needed to say. You ever have the urge to go down there and see if, like, I know you haven't been down there yet, but ever, like, go have the urge to go down there and, like, see if the other energy that wanted to speak to you is still there?
I have passed that place many a time during the day and many times during the night, because I used to work over there in the Colonial Williamsburg area, but I've never gone back. It's kind of like I want some other people who are experienced like I am to go with me to see if they pick up on something else. Because if I get stuck there again, I might not walk away from it. So it was something that I physically could not move from. And that was enough for me to go, hey, I might not revisit this. But I still have the intellect to want to kind of still go back, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely makes sense. Because you are, it's the curiosity factor of it, where it's like, What was doing it? What was there? You know. But then again, you got to think of your safety too. At the same time,
yeah.
So it's like,
and that's,
you know,
one of the factors is like the safety thing for everybody else, for myself. The only thing I can't figure out is if it was a colonial time period or if it was like modern. That was something that I didn't see. And normally I can see stuff like that, but this one was so blocked. It was very hard to see anything. Like, it was not letting me see what it wanted me to see. So whatever was behind that, the negative thing behind the positive thing that was behind it, was not allowing, wasn't able to talk. So
in your opinion, you're working, you're doing ghost tours of the Colonial Williamsburg area. What do you think is the most haunted building in the Colonial Williamsburg area?
I want to say the Peyton Randolph House, because I have seen full-bodied apparitions out of there, and I have captured actual photos from there.
Oh, wow. I'd like to see those.
Yeah.
If you don't.
I've seen people in the windows. I know when people leave, because, like I said, I worked like across there, and I know the people who work there and closed off and stuff like that. But I've gotten full-body apparitions. I've been behind the slave house. I've gotten full people walking back and forth like they're working. I've seen, like, the children there and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's a very, like, odd, they're on odd hours. Like, it's not, everyone talks about how ghosts can be seen from 12 to 3 or 10 to this time. It's whenever they want you to see them. It's whenever they feel like that they're the most comfortable. Sometimes it's an energy that goes whenever they want to be seen, or a repetitive thing that's been going on. Sometimes it's just an energy. But I saw these full-bodied apparitions, and I have pictures, and I'll send them to you when I can find them again. I've seen these people in the windows, you know, talking back and forth to each other. It's absolutely crazy. I've had pictures where they're there in 1 minute and gone the next. And I have taken people that with me who have done that, and either they've seen nothing or seen something. So it's very strange, and I don't think, I haven't been there lately, but the last time I was there, I didn't get anything. So I think it was just a weird time frame that I happened to catch this happening. So I think the Peyton Randolph House is the most haunted out of them all, personally.
It is so strange to think that there is a whole other world existing in our world that we cannot see.
Right.
People still talking to each other, still doing their daily tasks like it's nothing. And it's like on another, like another dimension that sometimes you can see, and they'll show themselves, or maybe there's a glitch in the system where you can see these things. It's weird. Again, it goes back to the whole faith thing though that we were talking about earlier, where it's like either you believe they're there, or you will find any excuse in the world to make up some reason for them being there. Like, oh, well, it must be, you know, I'm projecting, you know, my
the old
own
house.
Yeah.
Or, oh, maybe it's storming.
Yeah.
Or
it's
the
just
wind. Anything except, oh.
Get back in here.
It's just, you know, some people will believe, some people will look for any excuse not to believe in what they see right in front of their face, you know?
Yes. Unfortunately, some of my family's like that. So I had the opportunity to do a show. I don't know if you're familiar with Life Spirit at all. It's a really white film.
I've not heard of that.
Basically, the wife dies and comes back and haunts the newly married couple to the husband that she was married to. And she's been waiting for 7 years to come, you know, to talk to him. And in her mind, he called her back. But in reality, she asked to come back. So I've had, with my parents' experience, I've had the opportunity to play this character several different times through several different theaters. And given my experience, I was able to really feel that grasp that person had. It had a total different side of being in that person's space. So when you're talking about them completely having a whole separate world, I was able to, like, really experience that world in a different way, not only paranormally, but get a better insight of what they might be thinking on the other side. So it was really cool to know that, you know, even though they may be gone, they still could be walking here. Not everybody thinks that, but I do. I know that my grandma has still been here, and I know she still walks the earth. Just because she's physically, bodily gone, I know she spiritually is caring about her own business. Whether she's aware of what's going on in modern day, I don't know. I'm still trying to figure that out. So I'm kind of like working on stuff like that type of style to figure out whether these people know whether they're gone or whether they're still in their old time frame, or if there's something they're working on modern day. You just don't know. And so I'm working on trying to learn things like that to kind of get inside their head and see how it goes. So I'd like to know myself. Because some people are scared of death, and some people don't want to accept it and are afraid, and they don't know what's happening on the other side. Sometimes we can get real answers. Sometimes we can't. But that's for everyone to choose on their own path and their own story. So that's kind of where I come from.
About one investigation I went on with Hallie early in my paranormal, I guess, career. We went to this plantation in Palatine County, and we stepped outside for a cigarette break. We had just finished doing an EVP session, and we were just kind of outside, just kind of relaxing and stuff. And we left a camera on in the foyer area in the recording, and we caught an EVP of a guy saying, "Get off my lawn." Now, we were standing in the driveway, which was a gravel driveway at the time, but I looked at a picture of the plantation back in like the early 1900s, and the driveway to the side went around to the back, and where we were standing was grass. So the EVP was saying, "Get off my lawn." He was still seeing the grass. Thank you.
You're welcome.
But we were standing on gravel. It's like when people, you see spirits walk through walls, that there was a door there at one point.
That's really interesting. That's pretty cool. That's not something you see every day. Oh, wow. I'd like to try to figure out whether, you know, everyone can walk through walls and whatnot, you know. People
yeah.
And see, when you look at paranormal, you have to understand that, you know, and I know you and I know this, and Andrew knows this, and, you know, people who are in the paranormal world understand this, but people that are outside don't understand that this actually might be a thing. Like, where did they get all these movies from? Where did someone didn't just make this up and write it? And if they did, I don't know if they're telling the truth or not, but, you know, maybe someone experienced this for themselves and able to put this in their own words, but you don't know that. So being able to share that experience is pretty cool. I mean, that's something that, you know, I have not seen someone physically go through a wall or undo that particular style, but, you know.
I'll just give an example of like, people see stuff that, and the whole me hearing the EVP of the guy singing off my lawn, I actually heard that. I have that. But I've not actually seen someone walk through a wall. I'm just giving an example of people, you know, living their, or like I said, living their lives, but obviously not living their lives, but going about their business as if nothing's changed.
No, I know you heard it through EVP, but some people hear that kind of stuff through a naked ear. And that freaks people out. It's, again, to the whole believable thing. It freaks people out doing that. I think it's really cool. I was watching a thing on Gettysburg the other day. And when I was young, I was like probably fourth grade, my class took a trip to Gettysburg. And my granddad went with me. And I turned to him, I said, "Where are all the dead people at?" Because I was expecting to see the people still laying there. I didn't know any difference. Well, a couple months ago, somebody pulled up, found this video of a soldier running through and firing and just disappearing out of nowhere. And I feel like, that's crazy. I want to do that. I want to see that. I physically want to be able to be there to know that. Because when I went, I was still kind of young and I didn't really know how to control what I do or understand what I do and things like that. So, I mean, that's insane. That's really cool. Again, you know, everyone's different.
Yeah. Everyone experiences different things differently. So when you have, do you use protection? Like, do you have, like, do you say a prayer before you go out? Do you try to put like a bubble around you so you're not bombarded by spirits when you walk out the door?
Sort of, kind of. I don't necessarily say a prayer or anything. I'm pagan, so I kind of follow with, I have like candles, I have sage and things like that. I usually sage myself. I have necklaces and rings and things that I have blessed or protected me. I have quartz and things like that, like quartz and amethyst and things like that that I take with me anytime I go. Runes, tarot cards, you know, anything that they can use to their advantage to contact me. I always make sure there's some sort of protection in some sort of way, depending, and I do everything differently depending on where I'm going and what I'm doing and how I feel for the day. So I don't do everything the same way. Everything is different each time. So it just depends.
Where do you think is the most active place you've ever investigated?
Not the most active place, I would say, is Eastern State. Not necessarily investigating, kind of just fell upon it. I was working
as a
firefighter.
Is it Eastern State?
Eastern State, huh? Eastern State.
Yeah.
Not the one far away, but the one closer to us, the one in Waynesburg. I like to go and visit the one far away. But I actually was doing a firefighter training facility, is how I got into the fire department. I think it was like, I want to say 16 at the time. It was my first like real big training session. I was blindfolded, and I was supposed to crawl with somebody. They were teaching us how to get our senses all together and things like that, learning about hearing things and moving things and smelling things without the vision, without having sight. Well, my boss had played a very dirty trick on me. He took the boot off of the person I was holding on to, and I was walking blindly with this boot in my hand, thinking this person was still attached to me, in front of me, leading me. They knew it, and I fell into one of the chutes that they throw the bodies in before they do whatever they do with them. And I kind of had that sense. I was like, something's not right here. And it felt like I could hear everything going on. And that was kind of like the most terrifying experience for me, because I felt like feeling like hands on me and stuff like that. Like things were actually physically touching me. Well, eventually I was like calling out. I was freaking out. I was like, hey, come get me. There's something going on. I'm stuck here. I can't get out. Come get me. They eventually pulled me out. I mean, I'm blindfolded me. And before we left, my boss was talking about, you know, they were trying to freak people out and tell about ghost stories and things. Oh, there's a handprint here. Well, there was a handprint there. There was a handprint in the window. Well, we went outside and tried to clean it off. It didn't clean off. So we went back inside, tried to clean it off. It didn't come off. So we knew then there was definitely something going on, and it was a series of handprints. It wasn't just like it was following us wherever we went. So we were able to, it's called Zone 29, we were able to feel that experience. But that, I think that is the most haunted, because it's an insane asylum, basically. So you don't really get that full experience unless you have gone there. I think everyone has a different experience there. But my experience is that I feel like that was, out of all the places I have ever been, I feel like that was the most haunted because I had so many different experiences there. That's just one of them. And I think there's a lot of people that want to tell their story and get in contact with people, and they want to know what's going on. They want to understand what's happening to them. They don't think they understand what's going on. So I think that has a lot. It has a lot of feeling to it. And I think that's one of the most haunted places here in our area.
That place has a lot of energy, just like you said, from the history of it. You know, I think it's an art museum now or something, or I don't know, something.
I have no idea. I've been back since. I don't know.
I think it's an art gallery or something. Something, I saw a sign. I think it was art gallery. I'm not positive. Don't hold me to it. I don't know for sure. We have, like, I wanted to talk to you about reenacting, but I don't think, obviously, we're not going to have time to do that tonight. I know. We can have you back on. We'll talk about reenacting. We'll get into, like, what it takes to get into reenacting and how much, you know, the ins and outs of all that.
I appreciate being able to do stuff with you, and hope everybody enjoyed what I had to say and whatnot. And, you know, anyone can always contact me if they feel like they need to. And, you know, I do appreciate the time that we've spent, and hopefully we get together again for sure. And I'll hand it back over to you. Good night, everyone.
Yeah, it was a fun conversation. Hopefully we can get you back up. I got back up to the cabin sometime, and we can investigate up there, we'll see what you can, like, maybe kind of visions you can have up there.
Appreciate it. I'll do.
Man, well, thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm sorry a little bit late, but I'm glad we could have you on tonight. And this is a fun conversation.
No problem. Life happens.
Yes, it does. So, well, thanks again for coming on, and I will talk to you. Don't forget to send me those pictures. I want to see those full body apparitions.
I'll send them when I find them, I promise.
All right. Perfect. Thank you. Have a good night.
You too. Enjoy. Bye.
Bye. Well, that was fun. We have an investigation next week at Pamplin Park from 6 to 2 o'clock in the morning. So I don't have anyone scheduled tomorrow, next week, so I'm not sure I'm going to want to talk to anybody. They have to sleep. So my next guest is, I think, Emily Menshaus. She is the host of What the Frick Live, WTF Frick Live. That is the freaking awesome Christmas special we are having in 2 weeks. You know, if I feel up to it, I might do just a regular, like, super nice we can feel up to talking. You'll know next week whether I'm here or not. Hope everyone has a great week. And I will be back here. Same freaking awesome time, same freaking awesome channel. But maybe 2 weeks from now. Actually, no. Half hour earlier. Back to the regular time. So, all right, guys. You can tell I'm tired. It's been a long day. Have you? Have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon. And don't forget, tune into the Orion Effect on the Rift Radio Network. It's there on now. I had to cut into their time, so go ahead and check them out, and have a good one, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.